David Liggett with Data Center Hawk, and I am so excited to be joined by Chris Downey. Those in the industry know Chris. Chris is the CEO of Flexential. Chris, I was actually doing some work. It's 8 years, almost 8 years, that you've been the CEO there. So anyway, thank you so much for joining. I'm really excited to connect with you.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here, David. Thanks for having me. I thought back to one of our earlier interviews when we were doing it live, and I look forward to doing that again. But I did find the rugby ball.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I am pretty confident that there's only been one time that a rugby ball has been tossed in a data center raised floor square feet. I'm almost positive it's probably you and me. So I'm happy that somewhere in the data center, like history annals, that'll be our claim to fame. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about starting out, because I do think obviously a lot of people in our space know you, some that might not. You come from, a really interesting background, really out of the financial world. And how did your background really set you up from on the financial side to step into, obviously, your role at Telex, and then, 7 or 8 years ago, your role at Flexential?
Yeah. You mentioned that I'm in my eighth year here at Flexential. So, time flies when you're having fun. But it's my 18th year in the data center sector. Sure. So I got kind of recruited in 2007, and like to think I sort of grew up as the industry grew up. Data centers existed before, but, the internet didn't necessarily. And right around that 2007 timeframe is where everybody started to appreciate the power that was going to bring to the world. And so, but, prior to that, as you mentioned, I had several kind of, I'll call them experiences in the operating world around communications, infrastructure, satellite services. And prior to that, I spent about a decade as an investment banker and working on raising money for emerging technologies like cellular, if you can believe it. My hair was definitely a lot darker back then, but I'd say what sort of kind of positioned me well was one, understanding, the emerging technologies and how they were starting to plug together, but all the communications infrastructure, now internet infrastructure, businesses are capital intensive. And so, my time as an investment banker, served me well in kind of knowing how to liaison between, capital markets and, the given, infrastructure venture I was on at the time. And, clearly at Telex and more so even now at Flexential, capital is critical. And and that's obviously only growing in intensity, if you will.
Yeah. The, it was April of 2021 when we last caught up on a video discussion, which seems like kind of yesterday, but also a long time ago. You mentioned the capital piece, but a lot has changed over the last, 2 or 3 years. Talk about, from your standpoint, what are some of the other highlights or things that you've seen really shift in the space in our industry over that time?
Yeah, I think when we were talking then, we were, back to the capital thing, we were working on our ABS financing efforts, which we were able to complete at the end of 21, which really positioned us to have a source of capital that was, kind of evergreen on a relative basis to, traditional debt structures. And that continues to provide us liquidity for growth. But really, at the end of 2022, we began to experience a whole host of unprecedented things in that, and I'll just use a few examples. Hillsborough 3, which was our latest large scale data center in Hillsborough, 36 megawatts. I think that's where we're throwing the rugby ball around. But that got pre-sold before it was completed, and it is a multi-tenancy environment. And in my career up to then, I'd never really pre-sold, multi-tenancy environment. And that basically sold out in kind of a quarter and a half, if you will, which was unprecedented from my experiences and really things just accelerated from there. Obviously, we began new developments on Hillsborough 4 and 5. That's just one of our markets doing the same in Atlanta and several other markets. But really the demand supply imbalance began to shift, and the demand was so great that the supply was becoming constrained and still is. But that was creating, pricing accretion, if you will, where, for my 17 years prior to that, the industry was just working against the headwinds of price compression. And
sure.
So, that's been certainly helpful as we have to deploy more capital and drive more yields. Those two dynamics in and of themselves over the last 18 months, I think, are creating kind of a new paradigm that we're all, enjoying, but also need to, need to think differently about, how we scale the business.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, for those that maybe aren't as familiar with our space, to really echo what you're saying. I mean, I remember starting back in the business back in 2007 and 8 when, data center rents were in the 180s and 190s for really larger deals. And then, to your point, my career, it was like they just were decreasing the whole time until, 2020, 2021. And we started to really see the supply constrained market. And also to, construction costs and all the costs rising that were pushing rents up. Yeah. It's just a fascinating time to be in the space. And Flexential is really interesting because you attract both very large customers, but as well, you also attract, customers that are one cabinet, 10 cabinets, 20 cabinets. And that's really been a lot of the bread and butter, I would say up until the last several years for Flexential. What's that been like to create a platform that serves both of those customers well?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm glad you used the word platform because, I view there's a lot of power in the platform in terms of delivering, a differentiated value proposition to the customer, and that we've got, we've got a platform of 41 facilities in 19 geographies. We're always focused on, I'll call it, strategic expansion, in that, we were fortunate in 2023 to deliver and sell a little over 50 megawatts of capacity in several markets. So it wasn't just, Hillsborough, which
sure,
is clearly
sure.
a big market for us. But, we did that in Hillsborough, but also in Denver, also in Dallas, Atlanta, Tampa, and I always feel like I'm missing one. I think I said Atlanta.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's really about delivering upon the value proposition of managing to our customers' growth. And so those customers could be large scale technology companies, chip manufacturers. We do work with the hyperscalers for their more distributed, regional or edge caching nodes that need that geographic reach, but also to a whole range of enterprise clients, to 4 out of the 5 largest financial institutions in the world, to a lot of large scale healthcare companies, but even kind of a what you would presume is a large enterprise. Sometimes they're just starting with a smaller deployment. So it
yeah.
might be, 100 kW, it might be 5 cabinets, but,
yep.
What we enjoy in our model, in serving, serving multi-tenancy requirements, is that, they it's not a set and forget model. They always grow. And managing to that growth, as I said before, is a key part of our value prop. I would say, though, that as we've created larger scale environments and have the ability to serve multi-megawatt requirements, and we've done as large as 13.5, and but there's many kind of increments of demand in between. We've definitely been solutioning for those as we also manage to the requirements, I'll call it, of our smaller deployments. But it's really about, you know, the flexibility of our model and maintaining that for, you know, demand that it may not be necessarily at the same scale or moving as fast as this, as the, you know, the hyperscale demand,
sure,
or
sure,
the AI GPU demand, but it's still going to have fairly significant needs in the future. And I think that's where Flexential, you know, fits well and be able to do, you know, larger scale, more, multi-megawatt deliverables for customers that, you know, aren't buying in 50 to 100 megawatt.
And you know, it's those customers are still out there. You know, I think in our world, it's so easy over the last couple of years, at least as we've tracked the market, you know, these big, the biggest transactions ever happening, and there's, you know, 100, 200 megawatt sites being pre-leased and all these things, like, that is certainly happening and growing. However, there's also an enterprise market that is very active, that continues to evolve as you know, they grow. And I think one of the things that Flexential does is really, it seems like, join, you know, you jump in with customers wherever they are in the journey. And it seems like the company's been building different products to help customers, you know, move along. One is the, I think it's called Flexential Fabric, that you all have rolled out to the market, deals with interconnectivity. Talk about the value of that. And also too, what did companies do before something like this existed? Like, what's the, you know, as you roll this out, it helps the customer solve what?
Sure. Well, the Flexential Fabric is really, you know, built to enable, you know, access and I'll say agility on our national network fabric that we have in place. It's a 100 gig network, but that's soon to be, you know, scaled up to 400 gig. But it ties all of our facilities together, ties into 11 carrier hotels. We host 5 subsea cables now, and so there's a fair amount going on the network or interconnection front at Flexential, and it's, you know, it's a fairly robust part of our business, and obviously it's a critical need for, you know, every deployed workload on the planet. But we feel kind of out innovate on that platform, and Flexential Fabric is an example of that, which is really a next generation software defined orchestration capability, if you will, where a customer can get access to all of the I'll call it the capabilities of our platform through one single connection. And so, you know, we provide a host of, you know, interconnection offerings from, you know, IP transport at scale, you know, private line connectivity between environments. We have our Cloud Fabric offering, which gets our customers to, you know, all the major, you know, public cloud alternatives. And then we also have some virtualized capabilities, which provide a certain level of elasticity for our customers. Those are primarily like our data protection services and our and a private cloud offering. As you well know, certain workloads can't go to the public cloud, but that elasticity is as important to those workloads. But back to Flexential Fabric, really, it's one and done. So you basically plug into that, plug into the fabric, and you can really dynamically orchestrate those resources, those capabilities I mentioned, really on demand, which is really, you know, that elasticity. Being able to, you know, plug in and then get the resources in the scale that you need when you need it is a capability that that we think is, you know, is highly differentiated and you know, really only available you know, at Flexential at this juncture. Others probably have versions of it, but you know, it's all about making, you know, those resources easier to consume by you know, both our, you know, our technology, you know, web scale and enterprise customers.
And I would think there are some customers that come into Flexential and probably don't even realize what their needs might be moving forward. So I would imagine that they see something like this, and not only is it an opportunity for them, but it's probably also an education on, oh, this allows me to do this. I didn't even know that was maybe an option or something I should be considering. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you've got more sophisticated buyers and less sophisticated buyers. You know, I'll characterize the less sophisticated as those that are just getting out of a, you know, legacy on-premise data center that's really not a data center. You know, in today's definition, and then more sophisticated ones who know exactly what they need at the requisite scale. And you know, we provide solutions for that range. But many come in and, you know, they have their basic needs of space, power, and, you know, and I'll call it IP transport and some level of connectivity. But then they, you know, begin to appreciate, well, wait a minute, you know, I can get at these other resources that I'm doing on a very bespoke or manual fashion. Before I was in a FlexCentral facility, and now, you know, I can plug in and seamlessly get the resources that I need at in a elastic kind of scalable model, on demand model that allows them to eliminate, you know, the bespoke manual ways that they did it before, and enjoy, you know, all of the investment that we've made to be able to deliver those resources when they need it, and for it to be easy to consume.
What's the impact? It wouldn't be a data center conversation if we didn't mention AI. So let me just do that real fast. But what has been the impact of, you know, the AI explosion on your business and customers? And obviously, as we mentioned before, you have such a wide spectrum of, you know, smaller customers to larger customers. But what's that been like for FlexCentral and solving the needs of that moving forward?
Yeah, well, obviously, the demand is, you know, at a scale that we haven't seen before, and moving, you know, at a pace that's unprecedented as well. I was, you know, very pleased that, you know, we were well prepared for these new demands. And so everybody talks about the density of the high performance compute infrastructure, the GPU infrastructure, and you know, our larger scale facilities were already built to handle those densities and the scale. And so just a little bit of history that you certainly will understand is that, you know, we think of our data centers and generations. We're on our fifth generation of data center. All right. But our fourth generation of data center, which, you know, ranges from that, you know, 22 and a half to 36 megawatts. So that's, you know, that meets the scale requirement. But, you know, they were designed, the first one was designed and built in 2010. And it's 50 kW a cabinet capable and liquid ready. And I say that because back in 2010, you may recall, you know, high density requirements were around the corner, and thus we built to that requirement. Well, pockets did show up, but it, you know, there was really no demand in scale at those high density levels. And now when, you know, kind of AI emerged in the beginning of 23, we were, I'd say, one of the early enablers of those models, because our facilities were ready for them. And so, you know, we announced deals in 23 with, you know, CoreWeave and Applied Digital, and there are others. And that, you know, came from our really kind of, those were referred to us from, you know, relationships that we have with, you know, some of the largest technology companies in the world. And so, so it's certainly, the demand has changed the game. You know, we were ready for it, and you know, we hope to continue to meet our fair share of it, you know, as we look forward. The other thing I'd say why we were in good position to solution for it is really the geographic reach of our platform. Mm-hmm. So as you know, there's been lots of discussion of the constraints on raw materials and the traditional, you know, data center destinations, if you will, and Northern Virginia and Santa Clara and so forth. And, you know, the consumption dynamic has definitely moved into what had been called, you know, secondary markets from a data center destination perspective. Although I'd say all those 19 markets are you know, highly relevant large scale population centers, which is also, you know, a focus of where data centers are.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the demand move geographically, you know, and I think it, I think it's been a, I've been encouraged at the way that both the user, I think, and the provider community has been able to serve that demand in different places that historically, like, we haven't, you know, seen it. And you know, I think there's even further, there's maybe even another layer of markets that are receiving very large demand that probably won't grow much more because that type of demand will really tax the grid in a way that, you know, to deliver another project that size, you know, probably doesn't make sense. But to the markets like Nashville and Charlotte, Minneapolis and Phoenix and, you know, maybe some other places, Salt Lake City, Denver, you know, those areas have been, you know, have not seen the type of growth that a Northern Virginia or a Dallas or a Chicago has seen. However, they're very strong from a business perspective, from even a data center facility standpoint. So I think over the next few years, it'll be really interesting to watch those markets grow and change. Are you seeing that? I mean, do you believe that will happen as well?
Yeah. Well, every market you mentioned is a Flexential market. But, you know, I always kind of scratched my head as to why we didn't see a larger scale consumption in Denver, as an example, which is a, you know, a home market for us. We've got five facilities in that market, and we'll soon be announcing some exciting expansion plans. But, you know, but that has changed, you know, in that if we have the megawatts available, they're going to be consumed very quickly, if not pre-sold. So so I think many of our markets are great destinations for you know, for a data center.
Yeah.
But many of those markets haven't been afforded, I'd say, the scale in the past. So where we have, in some of those markets where we haven't, you know, built scale yet, scale a decade ago was 5 megawatts, you know, you know, maybe different. 10 megawatts. And so those data centers in those markets are that of that size and, you know, do a perfectly good job for the customers that, you know, enjoy the resiliency of those environments. But, you know, I think all the markets that you mentioned are ready for the, you know, that 36 megawatt form factor, if not more.
Right.
And I'm not, we don't offer the kind of the 50 to 100 plus hyperscale product. So I'm really talking about, you know, demand at a new level in markets that are just as good a destinations as the, I'll call them, the traditional markets of the past.
Yeah. And I think that's the demand sometimes that goes, you know, flies a little under the radar, because of the last couple of years of how big and significant some of these projects that we've seen in the market are. But I actually wanted to go back. You said kind of the pre-sold or pre-selling of pre-leasing of facilities before they're even delivered. What's that been like? You know, I think about, you're going, hey, we want to supply customers with a pathway to growth, and we want to get them, you know, want to make sure we can meet their needs down the road. So we're going to deliver whatever it is, 12, 18, 36 megawatts. And then literally before you even deliver it, it's sold. How do you handle that? You know, to go back and ask for more capital, what's that been like? Because I always say it's almost like a blessing and a curse. And I mean, the blessing is you get it leased, and that's great for the business and the demand. The challenge is, it's like, hey, how do we provide customers with growth over the next year or so? Because we thought we were going to have it. Now we don't. What's that been like?
Yeah. It's, I think one of the mantras that I heard in 23 is that, it's a great problem, you know, to have, meaning, you know, we've got so much demand and we're selling our facilities faster than we ever had before. But my reply to that is it's still a problem.
Yeah.
We need to solve for. And so it's been awesome to capture, you know, this growth over the course of the last 18 months, but you know, we need to be, you know, thinking much further out now about delivering capacity to, you know, our existing customers and new ones. And in particular, that's, you know, that's exacerbated by, you know, the supply chain dynamics that we're, you know, that we're all dealing with.
Sure.
And that it takes, you know, a year longer now probably to deliver these things than it did a decade ago. So, you know, you really are on a constant, you know, kind of, I'll call it a conveyor belt of building, pre-selling, you know, but long-term planning of, you know, how are you going to provide that next chapter of capacity. And so thankfully there's, you know, a ton of capital interested in,
sure,
in supporting, you know, that need and the yields are very attractive. You know, clearly there are those investors that are investing in, you know, hyperscale, which is, you know, I kind of look at as more of a set and forget model, more of a bond, you know,
yeah, sure,
bond investment, if you will. Whereas our model, you know, continues to organically grow over time, and you know, we can generate twice the yield of the, you know, that hyperscale yield. Yes, we do more work to generate it, but
sure,
you know, ultimately that yield is as resilient and as long term,
yep,
you know, as that bond yield, but it's better. And so you know, because our customers may contract on shorter terms, but ultimately the average life of our customer base is about 9 years right now. So that means there's many that have been with us for 20, and
sure,
obviously there are many that have been with us for one. But the other thing that's going to enhance yields over the longer term is, you know, we touched on pricing before, but, you know, we've got a model that can capture, you know, the pricing accretion, if you mm-hmm. will. And so, you know, that will support the continued, you know, resiliency, I'll say, of our profitability, which is ultimately what enables us to continue to make more investments to build more data centers.
Yeah, sure. No, that makes sense. Well, let me pull off the data center side for a second on your just leading the company. You know, you said 8 years, and we can kind of close this, but what are some of the things you've learned, you know, doing this? I mean, you've obviously led multiple companies now in the data center space. You're an expert in the market. You understand the financial side. You understand how to deliver capacity, what your customers need. But just from like a leadership standpoint and running an organization this large and this dynamic, when you look back, I mean, what are some of the things you go, these are some of the things that I've taken away or my favorite parts of this journey? What have they been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that it's critically important to kind of stay focused on, you know, what is the strategic outcome that you're looking for? Because there's lots of distractions, you know, along the way, whether it's a, you know, financial crisis or
sure.
a shiny new object, you know, in
yeah.
the form of, you know, I'll just say when cloud, you know, emerged on the scene, you know, it,
yeah.
A lot of people kind of changed their focus and attention on that. And I think, you know, it's still a very important utility for you know, customers, but you know, the marketplace has learned that, you know, their, you know, workloads need to be, you know, hybrid in terms of where, you know, where they you know, where they sit, if you will.
Yep.
And so so I think sort of making sure that you you know, you're staying laser focused on what you're good at, appreciating that it is, you know, those investments will be, you know, for the very long term. You know, I mentioned the tenure of our customers, but you know, our facilities are built to you know, stand the test of time.
Sure.
And so you know, ultimately, if we deliver upon our value proposition of you know, of basically securing mission critical infrastructure and enabling its ability to operate efficiently, grow, adapt to new technologies, then that annuity should, you know, effectively last forever. So, you know, being in my eighth year here, but 18th in the industry, you know, there's been just, I've seen a lot of chapters, if you will, been very fortunate that the, you know, the data center value proposition, you know, accelerates, after, you know, after each chapter. I think what's different, you know, I always said to folks, cause you know, when you're raising money, technology risk always comes into play. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years and the underlying technologies haven't changed that much, you know, a generator, still a generator, electrical, you know, transformers are still, you know, the same, but you know, this next chapter, there's a whole host of, kind of unprecedented things that I will readily admit I'm learning about, you know, real time, you know, very much have to think differently about how, you know, we grow and support this business, because the next decade is not going to be the same as as the prior two. And so, you know, I find myself having to say, well, while I know enough to be dangerous given my time in the industry, the things that I'm seeing, we're all seeing, they're new. And so it's not like I've got experience, you know, with them. Thankfully I, had the benefit of a, you know, large scale platform that's doing a lot of great things for a lot of great customers, and those customers as well as new customers should look at that experience base and say, this is a, you know, this is a solutions provider that's been there, done that. And so as we face these new challenges that no one's ever seen before, you know, I should look to them as a trusted, you know, advisor, and hopefully, you know, they become a customer, and we're able to have that partnership with them for the rest of time.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Chris, thank you so much. I love getting to sit down with you and hear your perspective. I think you've got a really honest take on the market, and I think that's well received and respected in our space, which I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I certainly am thankful of the, you know, I feel like openness you've had for years related to the space and your support of Data Center Hawk. So thanks as always for joining, and I look forward to getting to do this next one, and we'll make sure it's not as long as it was last time.
Yeah, no, always great to chat with you, and I'd really like to do the next one live, and you know, and I'll bring the ball.
I love it. Let's do it. All right. Thanks, Chris.
Take care.